WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhart stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. What's up, NHRA fans? Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. The countdown is on, but it was kind of an interesting start that will restart this weekend at the Texas Motorplex at the AAA Texas Nationals. We've got a big show, though, for you. You might be thinking, what about the winners? How are you going to get the winners, Joe? You've got no winners. Well, there is one winner that we do have. We didn't talk with Brainerd Funny Car winner Ron Capps. Well, we've got him. Brainerd Funny Car winner Ron Capps will join us on the show just minutes from now. So if you just clicked the link or you're a Ron Capps fan and you're wondering, where's Ron? He'll be on in a few minutes. He's in the green room waiting right now. Also on the show, since we're headed to the Texas Motorplex, figured it would be a great opportunity to have on Billy Meyer, the man who envisioned and built the racetrack we are going to, the first super track, a top 50 NHRA racer, won his final race before he retired at the age of 33, going on to create the Motorplex, among other things. We're going to have Billy Meyer on the show, also going to talk about the AAA Texas Fall Nationals and everything going on at the Motorplex this weekend, which is a lot. But first, we start every show off the same way with the voice of the NHRA. He joins us now, Alan Reinhart. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be with you again.
Yes. Now, before we get into the world of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, there's a lot to talk about, even though we do not have winners per se. I think you might have some really cool information for our audience about where you are right now.
I am actually this week coming to you live from Rick Waters Racing Engines in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. I built the motor for my Mustang. Anybody that follows my columns in National Dragster, follows the show, knows that I have a 67 GT Mustang that I've had for a long time. I put together a new motor for it and wanted to get it dynoed and have it tested before it went in the car. So talked to Rick and brought it up here, dropped it off a couple of weeks ago. He was able to squeeze it into his schedule in between building motors for a lot of the comp and super stock and race cars that we see out there on the drag strip, and got it on the dyno last weekend, got it ready to go, so I came up to pick it up, and that's where I happen to be right now.
And when you got the numbers, folks, I can just let you behind the curtain a little bit. Giant smile on this man's face. You seemed very happy.
Well, you know, again, this is a street car. It's a naturally aspirated small block. The average numbers from 4,000 to 7,000 RPM for anybody that speaks dyno. Average is over 550 horsepower, big numbers over 660. It also has only over 500 pound-feet of torque from basically 3,500 RPM all the way north of 7,000, and big numbers in the 580 and 590 range. So, yeah, for a street car, I'm pretty jazzed about it. I'm pretty happy with the way it came out, and Rick did all the fine-tuning on it and cam timing and all the little basic smaller adjustments that you do is why you put it on the dyno in the first place. So I'm pretty excited about it. I'm, as I said, up here picking it up right now, and now it'll just be a matter of when I can find a break in the schedule to get it in the car and get the rest of that stuff together. But Rick did a nice job for me. He and his staff just do a terrific job up here, and appreciate all of that. So all I need to do now is get the car together.
Well, we have been following this on the show for a long time. This is a major, major milestone right here.
Well, it has to be running by Christmas. That's the deal, because it was, this Christmas will be 3 years ago. One of the guys at my Christmas party had a project he was working on. Didn't have an engine for it. We kind of got to chit-chatting a little bit, and I said, well, I'm going to be selling the motor out of that car when I get the new one done. So we took my 67 around the block, and he came by a couple of days later, handed me an envelope, and said, let me know when you got the motor out, which exactly how I had envisioned it to all go down, but so it's been a couple of years now that the car hasn't been running, and since it lives at the shop, when people have been to the Christmas party the last couple of years, it's like, when are you going to have that thing running? It has to be running this year, so when somebody stops by and says something about it, I can tell them, get in, let's go for a ride in a 650-horsepower streetcar.
I think the attendance at the Christmas party just quadrupled by that line right there.
Well, come on, I got plenty of scotch, believe me.
That is awesome. All right, let's go back in time to Z-Max Dragway and the Pep Boys Carolina Nationals. No winners to talk about, but a lot to talk about. First and foremost, I guess the way that the event ended up being postponed will be run. The Mellow Yellow portion of the event will be run this weekend at the Texas Motorplex. We're going to talk with Billy Meyer about that, Ron Capps as well. But a lot out there. V-Gains involved in a horrific crash. Just a lot of elements going on. A lot of tough decisions had to be made.
It's just a difficult way to start the countdown. You know, we were dealing with weather all weekend long, as you well know. You were there. You know, rescheduling this and adjusting that, and you know, some of the sportsmen guys lost a time run or a qualifying session. More threat of weather, you know, throughout the weekend and as we went. Sunday morning started cool, cloudy. They were able to get the track dry, get everything in place, and run the first round of nitro cars, which was one of the more incredible rounds of nitro racing from top to bottom that we've seen in years. I mean, there were a couple of guys that were throwing around best ever. I don't know that I'd go there, but it was a pretty exciting round for the nitro cars. And then, as has happened in the past and happened sometime with the cool conditions, cold track, the first few pro stock cars to get down really struggled to get down. You know, they took a break, went out there, sprayed the track, did what they could do. You know, and then V ended up having his incident while they were getting that cleaned up, and there was apparently, and I wasn't down there, you were closer than I were, but apparently there was some more damage to the track from V's car flipping through the top end. While they were trying to determine, you know, what we can do, how we're going to make this happen, it starts raining again. By the time they got the track dry, you know, they were looking at, you know, how are we going to make this all work. Monday's a difficult option because we have to be in Dallas. There's a number of the drivers that have appearances, have sponsor commitments, have things going on. The tracks, the trucks and trailers, you know, need to get there. And if we race Monday, can we still make all this happen? And the decision was made to, you know, let's just move on. So that's exactly what they're going to do. The fans in Dallas are going to get to see, in essence, two races, because the Charlotte race will take place during qualifying, starting in Q2 for the Pro Stock motorcycles. And then on Saturday, the Nitro cars will run three rounds of racing along with the two rounds of qualifying, and that doesn't mean five total, but they'll match up the cars in qualifying session number three, qualifying session number four, and then the final two will come back for the next time and run a final, which won't count for qualifying, but it's going to be just a huge day for the Texas fans to come out and, in essence, see two races in one weekend. Hate for the way it went down in Charlotte, but the people at the racetrack have already been talking about changes they can make and things that they can do so that this will be better, and hopefully we won't have any issues coming forth, you know, when we go back next year for the four wide and then the countdown later in the season. It one of those deals that no matter what you did, it was a tough decision. There were going to be some people that were upset, some people that felt like, you know, that it wasn't the right thing to do, but in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the huge picture, there weren't really a whole lot of better options. So tough decisions sometimes have to be made, and that's just the way it came down.
With an abundance of caution, after watching V's crash, and I have to say, I am glad that we did not put another pair down the racetrack. It was just kind of a bad situation. But what was great, though, and I know you have done this for many, many years, and you have had this experience over and over again. I have not. It is new to me, but being down there on the turnoff waiting for the driver to come around the corner with other drivers and seeing something go down on the racetrack, and just the way the safety safari goes into action, the way other drivers are reacting, and then being virtually first on the scene and first to interview and speak with V after that publicly, you know, on the mic, it was what a unique experience that is. And V gets out and he's making jokes about his cigar and he's going to get another car ready. Just incredible drama at that moment.
Yeah, it's it's really just all part of it. And, you know, there's so many things that go into, you know, if people look at, you know, what I've done over the years and go, wow, that's a great job. It must be, oh, yeah, it has its moments. And then it has its moments when you're watching one of your friends tumbling down the racetrack. You know, the same thing for the executives. There are days when you go into the track and everything runs smooth and everything runs great, and it's like, oh, boy, it must be great to be an NHRA executive. Well, you know, you and I were talking about it some last week while they were having meetings with the racetrack people, with the NHRA people, and trying to determine what's the right thing to do. And it's a classic case at that point where it's like, I'm glad that's not my decision. And, you know, it was made, but, you know, from your point, there's a reason, you know, there's a reason you bring special people into these events, because you need to have the experience to handle this. You need to know how to handle yourself, what to do. You know, seeing V get out of the car, walk away, literally, and have a smile on his face and know that he's going to be back to race today is a pretty special deal. And, you know, you, for being in your first, I don't know if traumatic situation is right, but you did a nice job down there with everything that was. So, you know, there's a reason that people fly in to do these races, and you don't just grab people off the streets.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, it's actually been an interesting year with a couple of those. And I'm just glad V was okay. I'm sure he's sore today, though. That was a pretty wicked crash. Just watching the replay over and over again, they don't look like they're going that fast until they get sideways, Alan.
And that was one of the strange things, and even V said it. He said, you know, it was fine. It was going down the middle. He said they knew that a couple of cars in front of them had gotten loose, and, you know, he and Clyde West, the crew chief, had talked about, you know, hey, if it does anything silly, don't worry about it. There's always another day. And he said, plug in the gears, and it's like, we're fine. What happened? You know, it just happened so fast that I don't know that anybody could have saved it, stopped it. So the bottom line is the car did what it was supposed to do. It protected its driver. I'm reasonably sure that V went back, since that's a car that's built at Lazarus, which is a company that he owns. I'm sure when he got back to Denver, he called the guys at the chassis shop and said, hey, come on, I'm buying you lunch, or did something nice for him, because the car that they put together saved him and, you know, protected him. So that's the most important thing of all.
You mentioned the round one of Top Fuel, just and funny car as well. The racing being spectacular. Obviously, we can't go backwards, and we have to just deal with what we got. But I'm feeling like it's a product of everybody getting ready for the countdown and making sure now. We calculated, I guess this is the eighth year of the countdown now. Everybody knows what it is now. Everybody understands, for the most part, how they should be running it, how they should be figuring out how to be at their best when it's most important. And I think that's what we saw. And I'm thinking about races and rounds, like the Brittany Leah race was incredible. Sean and Khaled Al-Balushi was incredible. Ron Capps, who's going to be on the show in just a couple of minutes, and Tommy Johnson, incredible side-by-side drag racing. If this is what it's going to be like, I am just super excited for the next 5 3/4 races.
Well, it's just crazy. I mean, when you look at coming into the first race, and again, it's cool, it's cloudy, which is, you know, the kind of conditions that nitro cars just absolutely adore. And everybody picked up from qualifying unless they smoked the tires, and there wasn't a whole lot of tire smoke. But, you know, the U.S. Nationals winner from last week in Top Fuel, out round number one. The top three in points, out round number one. The U.S. Nationals winner in Funny Car, number one qualifier, out in round one. And just the close racing, the exciting runs, the what are you kidding me, what's going to happen next kind of stuff that was going on out there was pretty special to watch. So it's a shame we didn't get to see the entire show, but the first round of Nitro was just absolutely ridiculous.
Some big news out there as well. George and Jackie Bryce shocking the racing community, I think, with a top secret clandestine operation to smuggle Angel into the tower. And there was an announcement that a champion racer was going to be returning, and I was walking around, people were asking me, I didn't know. And when it was revealed that it was Angel is going to return to Pro Stock Motorcycle on a Star Racing Buell, wow, it just shocked everybody in there, and there was electricity from that moment on.
Yeah, how did it feel to be part of her Secret Service detail there for a few hours?
It was actually a great stress. I didn't want to accidentally give up the information, so went into blackout mode. It was great, though, because she was very nice, and to see her feeling, the emotions of the moment, the big return, the behind the scenes, the backstage pass, so to speak, and then be in the media center as George revealed to everyone who it was going to be, which is a video that I posted on WFO Radio Facebook page, and Angel walks in and says hello to everyone. That was a dramatic moment for drag racing fans, I think.
I missed that moment because I was outside the room at that time, but it was kind of interesting. Angel and I have stayed in contact. We've always had a pretty good relationship, and when we had talked earlier in the week about this whole deal, she had flown in on Friday night and basically went to the hotel and hid. And then George and Jackie brought her to the racetrack on Saturday morning, and the plan was for her to just get into the tower, which at ZMAX, the tower is a pretty massive complex, and hide until they were ready to make the announcement that was going to take place at noon. So when they dropped her off, I grabbed her and shuffled her into the announce booth. And the good news is, at ZMAX, the announce booth is, you're not going to walk in there by accident. Let's just put it that way. It's not a bad place to hide for a couple hours. I think you would agree. If you hide back in the back, guys in the booths next door, and it's not like at Indy, where if you're in the announce booth at Indy, you've got just a big picture window into the press room. You're not hiding from nobody. But at ZMAX, in the back of the room, nobody can see you. So she came in and just kind of stashed back there and hung out with us while the sportsman cars were running and stuff, and got a chance to catch up and chit-chat a little bit before it was time for the big announcement. But, no, it was fun. I think it's going to be fun to have her back. Everybody I talked to in Pro Stock Motorcycle, and I did not talk to everybody, but everybody that I did talk to basically said it's a big plus for the whole class. She will bring a spotlight with her, and it can't help but lighten up the entire class. So they're all looking forward to having her back. It should be fun. She'll be back. I'm not sure if she'll be back on the bike in Dallas. If she is, that's just one more thing for you Texas fans. They said maybe Dallas, definitely by St. Louis, so they can get a couple of runs under the belt and get her kind of back in the groove before they go after the championship run in 2015.
I think that, and I want to say this right because I don't want to disrespect any legendary racers or anything. I'm just looking at this in a butts in seats kind of way. I think that Angel, there's not too many people out there that can drive butts to seats in the NHRA, and I think Angel coming back does. I think there are fans out there of her that watched her race over her career, watched her emerge onto the scene and come out there and start winning and just never look back, that are Angel fans that maybe have been sitting on the sidelines thinking, I'll watch on TV or I'll follow on WFO radio, but I don't need to be there. That will be there now. I really think that.
Well, that's certainly possible. I mean, I know that she was a polarizing figure. There were a lot of people that thought she was just the greatest, and there were a lot of people that looked for any excuse, if she had any kind of little stumble, anything, to try to knock her down. But she was definitely a polarizing figure, and I do think from some of the stuff that I've read and some of the people that I've talked to that she is certainly going to bring a new level of interest and excitement back to the Pro Stock Motorcycle ranks. She is the single winningest driver in Pro Stock Motorcycle. She's got 40, or no, I'm sorry, the second, behind Dave Schultz. She has 41 wins, and that's the one thing that she said she regretted was when she retired, she was not yet the single winningest. But when she comes back, you'd think of the legendary battles that she had with the Vance and Hines team back in the day. And now that, all the Buells are out there, the Matt Smith stuff, Angie, who's been out there running very well, and now there's going to be another lady in the class. So it should be fun. I mean, there's lots of potentials for rivalries, there's lots of potentials for controversy, and there's lots of potentials for fun, and that's what racing should be above all, is fun.
Now, obviously, we've got to look at it with the how will she do angle, and my thought is this is a champion motorcycle racer, and everything that I've always seen, once you get that into your muscle memory, it doesn't go away. That having been said, the class, I don't know, has ever been more competitive. The level of the racers, I don't think, has ever been higher. The more racers that can win a race on any given weekend, I don't think, has been higher. And the Star Racing motorcycles are middle of the pack, I would say. So it's going to be interesting to see how it transpires her return.
Well, it'll be fun to watch, but I think that you know, one of the advantages that Angel always had was the fact that she was physically so small. You know, everybody's dealing with the same weight when you're talking about the rider and the machine at the end of the run. You know, Angel, when she came in, was barely 100 pounds. That's an advantage because you can move the weight around on the motorcycle and affect the balance and help the bike in different conditions where somebody with a bigger rider just doesn't have that ability. You know, it's the same way in the nitro ranks. If you have me driving the car, then you're at a disadvantage because even if you can get down to minimum weight, you still don't have the adjustability that you would have if you had, say, Spencer driving your car, just because he weighs 60 pounds less than I do or whatever it would be. So that was always an advantage that she had. There was also a lot of motivation. You know, she and George have had a great relationship over the years. They motivate each other to want to do better, to want to be better. She still has had a good relationship with the folks that work in the shop at Star, you know, Ken Johnson, that's been there for so many years, and there's still a lot of people there that remember back in that. And I think that's going to motivate everybody. It's like, you know what, we got our championship rider back. We've got, you know, it's like we're putting the band back together. Now let's go make the most of it. So it'll be fun to watch.
It absolutely will be. And from what I understand, you were actually in the consideration for the position. You were at least lobbying
for it.
Yeah,
right up until the weigh-in. That was pretty much the end of my deal.
Yep.
No, I went by and I told George earlier in the weekend, I said, I want to ride that thing. I said, you start ordering titanium. And he looked at me and he said, man, there ain't enough titanium on the planet. So that was pretty much the end of my consideration, I got to tell you.
Yeah, at least, you know, you were in the conversation. Kind of.
Okay, yeah, let's go with that.
I see Leah Pritchett is adding Dallas to the schedule. Of course, that makes sense. You've already won a round. Why not go try to win a couple more? You're running great. I think that is an excellent move. No winners this week, Alan. No questions either. So we're going to just get ready to go to Dallas and the AAA Texas Fall Nationals. I am very much looking forward to it. We got Ron Capps going to do his winner's interview from Brainerd. So we're all schedule off on this show, but we're going to have fun nonetheless.
Right on. Well, I will let you get to it. I've got to go get my motor loaded up and head back to Tucson because I've got to get packed up and head to Dallas tomorrow. So travel safely, and we'll see you at the Texas Motorplex. If you haven't already bought your tickets, you need to. It's going to be a fun weekend. It's going to be a jam-packed weekend. And Saturday night in Dallas, the draw auction one more time. So that's just one more thing that you get by going to Dallas that you don't get anyplace else. A lot of the stars of the sport will be there, some memorabilia, some special collectible stuff, and you know, hey, you don't have to spend anything to come by and enjoy the evening, but who knows? You just might find something that you can't go home without and get involved. It's a fun family atmosphere, and it's Saturday night in the Champions Club at the Motorplex. You only get that in Texas.
It will be awesome. Alan, thank you very much.
All right, Joe, we'll talk to you soon.
Alan Reinhart, the voice of the NHRA, with us here on WFO Radio. Starts off each show with a little breakdown of what went down, and then we move on to the drivers. And coming up, we have got Ron Capps. Capps won first round out there at the Pep Boys Carolina Nationals, and we'll go on to the AAA Texas Fall Nationals in the second round. A lot of racing. We're going to talk with Capps about his Brainerd win as well. Since he won in Indy, we were unable to catch up with him on the WFO show, so we're making it right. Our selling point that you hear the winners here on WFO Radio. Hopefully you're subscribed. You've downloaded the free application. You follow on Facebook and Twitter where I posted that great Angel video, which is going like gangbusters. She just walks in, sits down, and says hi. I didn't post the full press conference because that doesn't matter. What matters is Angel is back. We got some great stuff. We've got Ron Capps coming up next. Then, after Capps, we're going to do an interview with Billy Meyer. Legend. Built the Texas Motorplex. All kinds of great stories. Billy Meyer going to be on this show and talk about the AAA Texas Fall Nationals. And then after that, I'll give some of my thoughts and views from the Pep Boys Carolina Nationals. I know some people are unhappy about a myriad of different things, and I will address that in my own way at the tail end of the show. It's obviously a very complicated, difficult situation for everyone involved. We're going to get to that. Ron Capps is next, then Billy Meyer, but first, I want to tell you, especially all you new WFO Radio listeners, about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak is a WFO Radio listener. Where does he live? He lives in Texas. What's his home race? The AAA Texas Fall Nationals, Texas Motorplex. So I'm going to be seeing Marvin for the first time ever this weekend, and we're going to talk about Rodax WFO Radio Blend, a special blend of coffee that he has mixed for WFO radio listeners. If you like the show, if you're passionate about the show, and you want to have a little taste of the show every morning, I think he's really captured it with the WFO radio blend of coffee. Give him a call, 817-924-6821. Wherever you are in the world, he can ship some out to you, and you can enjoy some WFO radio blend. But maybe you hate WFO radio. You're like, I hate you. I'm not interested in the blend. But what else do they have? They have a new espresso blend called Bang the Blower. It's actually great. I might even like it better than the WFO radio blend, to be very honest. It smells so good. The Bang the Blower is awesome. Plus, they have Kopi Luwak, one of the rarest coffees in the world. You can get coffees from around the globe from Marvin Rodak and RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. But you know what else you can get? It's coffee and grills, meaning they do grilling stuff. They have award-winning spice rubs. Check the website, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. We've got a banner ad on the front page of WFORadio.com. Click it. It takes you right there. They have the A26 spice rub, which is made out of coffee, and it is great. It has won awards in Texas barbecue contests. But for me, for my money, the hot sauces are what it's all about. He's got four hot sauces that he specially blends, and they are great. Can't get enough. In fact, I'm hoping to get some when I go see Marvin this weekend. Give him a call. That's the best way to do it. You can go on the website, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com, and find some information. But really, they've also got a Facebook page, too. Like him on Facebook. Follow on Twitter, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. But really, give him a call. Kick it old school. Pick up the phone, 817-924-6821. That's in the United States of America, all you international listeners. 817-924-6821. Pick up the phone. Hey, Marvin. I heard you talk, heard him talking about you on WFO radio. I want to know about the hot sauces, the WFO radio blend, the Bang the Blower, baby. And you will enjoy it. 817-924-6821. That's RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
U.S. Army Top Fuel driver Tony Schumacher.
You want to see a battle. You know, you want to see gladiator stuff. And you know, at the end, someone wins and someone loses. That's what we show up for, you know. And every now and then, a car's upside down on fire. That's kind of cool, too. But, you know, as long as it ain't my car, by the way. But it's life, you know, and people want to see that intense bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, full count moment. And every race is like that now. It's just the best. It's the best Top Fuel season I've seen in a long time.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFORadio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. And if you're a first-time listener and you're thinking to yourself, maybe you were at the track, you were at ZMAX this weekend, you heard us talking about, hey, we're going to hear the winners on the show. And, of course, this week, no winners. What are we going to do? Well, it just so happens we have the opportunity to double back to the one, the lone, the single winner that we missed so far in 2014. And that's because he was the victor at a rate postponed event as well. Joining us now, driver of the Napa Funny Car for Don Schumacher Racing, Ron Capps. Ron, welcome back.
Hey, man. Good to be here, Joe.
So we're gonna do a couple of things here. But one of those things is channel back to the Brainerd victory that happened in Indianapolis. Do you think you can do that?
Hey, if anybody can do something for the first time, it's going to be a groundbreaking show like yours. How's that?
So we're going to go in the Wayback Machine, way back, not even to Brainerd, but to Indy, where you beat John Force in the final round. What was the biggest motivating factor? Was it hoisting the Wally, winning the race, getting the points, or avoiding the big kiss on the lips?
I don't know how I came up with a kiss on the lips thing. We were backstage at the Traxxas announcement in Indy, and I was talking to Courtney and Brittany, actually, and all of a sudden we hear this huge roar of the crowd out in front, and we were all standing in the back, and Del Worsham was next to me, and we're like, what was that all about? And Courtney said, oh, my dad just said he's going to kiss you on the lips if you beat him on Saturday night for the Brainerd final. So not sure where that came from, but it was entertaining. Force is always entertaining. It's fun to mess with him, and, you know, I've been racing this guy since I came into Funny Cars, driving for the Snake, you know, in 97, and you just kind of roll with it. You know, he's fun. Sometimes you take a step back and you go, ooh, I don't know if I want to keep going with this. But for the most part, the fans love it, and they love the interaction that the Force brings. So I definitely didn't want the kiss, and I told them that. So I was a little extra motivated to make sure that that we got the win, and then I hit over by you guys and Gary Gerald while we were doing the interview.
4:02:06 in the final round, you really wanted to avoid the kiss.
Well, you got to remember, we going into the Brainerd final, which we couldn't finish in Brainerd, was, you know, I have so much family there that it's always been cool. That was three in a row, I guess, to win Brainerd. So the last couple of years, we went there and have our family there and just everybody from the zoo.
Cap's Corner.
You know, it's a great event. It's fun to win up there. So waiting was tough, but you got to remember the Force ran in front of us, and then it started raining as I was backing up for my burnout, and we actually ran the 4:07, I think it was, in the semis to beat Alexis, and I would have needed wipers had I had them on my Funny Car. It was that bad. So we wouldn't have had lane choice, and we didn't have it because I think he ran an 0-2 or something in the semis. So But again, I kept telling people they thought we were a little bit, you know, sort of the underdog going in. I said, look, it was raining as I was making the run, so I thought we had the car to beat them. And so I could not wait until we got to Indy. And the fact that it was still part of qualifying and that we could have moved up like we did with the 402, that was just, that was Ron Tober. So it was perfect.
Well, a huge win. We got to enjoy it in Indianapolis at a race weekend that was just so chock full of different things going on, both celebrating the history of the sport. It was definitely a big moment, but then not really a lot of time to reflect and celebrate that. When you're carrying the trophy, you've just won big. It is a big win. It does count as a win. It's a win. But just the same, now you have to switch gears immediately, as in the next second after you walk out of the media center. Obviously, that's different.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that second. We made sure we celebrate a little bit, and that's what I love about our guys and Tobler. You've been around Tobler.
Yes.
We race so hard, and everybody on the circuit just, you know, put everything into it, so it's nice to be able to celebrate a little bit, and we did. And, you know, it's funny, I think there's only down to one or two tracks that I haven't won personally on the NHRA circuit, which is amazing. And it just tells you the caliber of people I've gotten to drive for over the years. Pennsylvania is one of the tracks I haven't won at, but people mention Indy. I haven't won the U.S. Nationals on Monday, but I've won the when they call it the Big Bud Shootout, we won that three times on a Sunday in Indy. And who else can say that they won on a Saturday night and spent the winner's circle on a Saturday night in Indy? So I think I can scratch Indy's track off the list for sure as being a place I've won at personally, but we just need to finish the job on a Sunday. And, yeah, we had the track to shoot out the next day, and again, we went up there and made a great run, and then we got stomped by the Traxxas team who needed to get qualified, and they did that, and then a little bit more. They put a four flat on the board next to us, so that was impressive.
Tough racing going on. Just watching it, I feel myself just shaking my head thinking, we're coming down to thousands of a second now in these nitro cars, and watching really great, hardworking teams with great sponsors go up there and execute perfectly and walk away defeated is really tough to take. I can't imagine being in one of these teams now. At the big go, you went up against Force and in a rematch in the semis. He was able to beat you there, but solid performances, a lot of O's coming out of this car now. You go on to the countdown. It is a reset. We were at the Z-Max Dragway, the Bellagio of drag strips. You were one of the few cars, actually the Nitro cars, completed their first round. We had to hold up in the middle of Pro Stock, and it will be run this weekend at Billy Meyer's Texas Motorplex. But how does it feel knowing, you know, all right, you're going to start at second round, but also be qualifying at the same time? You've done this once before, and you were successful just weeks ago.
Yeah, it's going to be strange. And again, we hate that we couldn't finish it there at Z-Max. But again, we're going to completely different conditions, which will be strange. And not strange in a bad way. I mean, it's going to be warm. It won't be like it was Sunday. It was cool to go up there first round. You know, we had our teammate Tommy Johnson. It's the countdown. All of a sudden, you know, everything's up a notch. And we knew that team could run good. That crew chief is John Collins, who was Ron Tober's assistant for all these years. So he learned from the best. And, man, oh, man, I mean, we ran a 406, and he went 407, and they almost strapped one on us. So that was an indication of how it's going to be. And the whole first session, the top fuel and funny car was incredible. So, you know, it was good to get that win. Now we're going to Dallas, and we know now the schedule. I put it up for the fans when I got it from Graham Light. So Saturday at Dallas is going to be our second round, our semifinals, and then the final round from Charlotte will be that afternoon. And it's looking like it could be high 80s, low 90s. So it's completely different conditions. And, again, we're going to another track. It's all concrete. It's a great racetrack. It should be a lot of fun. The fans are going to get, you know, they're going to get their money's worth for sure on Saturday.
That is awesome, and I'm going right to your Twitter feed now to see the, because I haven't even seen the schedule, Ron, and, of course, by the time the show is on, we've definitely seen it. So
I put it up also on our Facebook fan page. That's where I put it initially, and I put a tweet out with a link to it, and it's a great schedule. I'm glad NHRA did what they did. Instead of incorporating Friday qualifying as the second round with the top fuel and funny car guys, we're going to run, if a final round, if we can get to the final round, it won't count course qualifying, but it's going to be a bonus run for the fans, and it'll be that afternoon, like 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Oh, so, I see.
Yeah, it's going to be, if you pick Saturday to go to Dallas, Annis, the Motorplex, you're going to see one of the best races you've seen in a long time all day long. So it's only fitting that we could take it there. And, you know, everybody's excited. You got a chance of winning two races and all those countdown points all within 2 days' time. So, you know, it's sort of intensified this whole countdown scenario.
It's very unfortunate to the Carolina fans who were out there representing, and there were a lot of WFO listeners out there that stopped me and asked me various questions about what went on. Just an unfortunate situation. But as we have said, the fans in Texas, they're going to benefit a little bit, so they'll be extra happy. I just think that everyone, and I have seen general consensus into the just unfortunate nature of what went down, and obviously the having to figure out how to improvise, adapt, and overcome the situation.
Yeah, and you know, it's part of the deal. You got to remember that, well, not just me. I mean, most drivers, if you were to ask what are your favorite tracks we go to on the circuit, pretty good odds that most of them are going to be the ones that the SMI tracks, Bruton Smith tracks. I love Sonoma. It's one of my favorite tracks. It's a home track. It's a great racetrack. Vegas, Bristol. You start going down the line, and Z-Max, you know, obviously he called it the Bellagio Drag Strip when he built it, and it's an incredible place. And I tell people all the time, that's a race to pick to go to if you're going to go back east from out here in the West Coast that you haven't been to. It's unfortunate what happened with the track, but I promise you that it'll be back to where we will probably call that the best racetrack surface like it was when it was built. So it's a great facility, and I know Bruton. I saw Bruton Sunday up in his suite and talked to him for a few minutes, and he doesn't like second place at anything, or third or fourth. So they'll fix it, and you know, it's just I'm glad that Vita Gaines didn't get hurt. I talked to him yesterday, and that could have been really bad. And so we're glad we didn't lose V, and he's a tough old man. So to be able to take that race and go to Ennis and finish up, you know, and then go back to for four wide next year, I promise you, it's going to be an incredible track surface.
I would imagine, yeah, they're gonna get it right. Unfortunate circumstance, and as you said about V, watching that go down from the top end, it was pretty rough on everybody that was around. But it's at those moments that you realize, at least I realize, that this NHRA community is really a little family, because people who are his competitors, people who are unrelated, were really, really on the edge as it was going down. And obviously everyone was thrilled that he emerged in the humorous way he did, talking about smoking his cigar.
Yeah, and really, you got to give a tip of the cap. A lot of fans don't know behind the scenes. You've got Alan Johnson that owns the Top Fuel team, B Gaines. You've got Chad Head. You got guys that really, that we've worked with in the past, that sort of spearhead an organization with what was pro. And sort of stay on top of the safety stuff and deal with Graham Light and what's going on the track. And it's good because they were very involved from the get-go. And we I know they voiced their issues over what was going on. And the Pro Stock guys is such a different scenario. People that don't understand what it takes for our cars to go down the track is so different from what the Pro Stocks need. And they just don't have any downforce. And it's I don't envy those guys on some of the tracks we go to. I mean, it's just they don't want to put any more downforce. It's going to slow them down, and then, you know, then you get a car that's very hard to drive. So we're just lucky everything worked out the way. It was a lot of good communication finally, you know, on Sunday where cooler heads prevailed, where, you know, it could have been a really ugly situation. So thank God everybody looked at the safety side of it, and we can go onward.
Headed to the Texas Motorplex this weekend. Billy Myers track, obviously an NHRA legend, has done so many things in the world of motorsport. It was my first time going there last year. Always wanted to go there and saw to myself, wow, this place was built in the 80s, but it still holds up by today's standards. A very nice place to race, obviously a very important race.
Yeah, all of the above. I'm getting excited with you just saying all that. You know, I remember reading about the place as a kid. When they first built it, and Ace and was driving, I think, the McDonald's Dragster and Eddie Hill and just all the guys setting records one after another. That was funny because it was back in the day, I don't know if you remember, when you would call that 900 number and you could get the updates at like, I don't know, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, and you had to wait, and then it would be Dave McClellan giving you, you know, we didn't have the internet back then. So
what?
Dave McClellan
no
giving
internet?
You the updates. Yeah,
nobody
well, it might have been
that.
Out there for somebody, but it wasn't out there for most of the race fans. So you would pay $2. You'd call this 1-900 number that that they would, you could call Dave McClellan, would put a recording of who won each category and what the ETs were all the way down. And my buddy Blaine Johnson, who I, you know, grew up with Alan and Blaine, you know, they were going out on the circuit about that time. So hearing about the Motorplex and all these records being set, I can remember that phone call that night calling, hearing Dave McClellan read off world records broken in every class. So Billy Meyer always built a great racetrack. You know, we talked about last weekend with Charlotte. I've got the best boss in the world. Don Schumacher is so involved with everything. You brought up Brainerd. He leaned in for the first time into my cockpit. He's never done that, and he leaned in over the motor before that run in the semifinals, and he said, if you are not comfortable with this racetrack, you can shut the car off at any time you want. And so to have a guy looking after a safety like that as my owner is pretty cool. And so going to this next race, you know, he's a great guy to drive for. He understands what's going on in the cockpit. He understands the pressure. We have the countdown. And now, you know, we're going to a race where theoretically we can gain another three rounds in the countdown by Saturday night. And then Sunday, you could almost double up and get another four rounds and leave there and head to St. Louis with seven more rounds in your pocket. So you have a good weekend there. It's going to be fun. You don't have a good weekend there. It's going to be a long weekend in St. Louis. A
lot of pressure building up. I hate that word at this time, but it is in fact true in this case. Ron, thank you very much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on WFO Radio. We appreciate it. I will see you this weekend at the Texas Motorplex. I know there's going to be a lot of WFO Radio listeners there. They're already texting and tweeting me. So I'm looking forward to seeing two races in one at the Motorplex. Thanks for coming on the show.
You bet. Love being on the show, Joe.
Thanks a lot, Ron. Ron Capps with us here on WFO Radio following his Brainerd win several weeks ago. But we got it in, baby, and that's exactly what this show is about. That's our shtick. You hear the winners on WFO Radio. If you're a first-time listener, if you're new to the show, if you just clicked the link for the very first time, I would ask you to subscribe, because this is what we do. If you like hearing from NHRA Mellow Yellow Series drivers and personalities, this is the place to be. We do it in the middle of the week when there's no racing, so we're not competing with the racing. You're thinking about racing. You want racing. Well, guess what? You might be at work in your cubicle or driving a truck doing your thing, but you can listen to WFO and hear from the drivers, the behind-the-scenes stories, the talk, everything that is going on in the world of the NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series as often as we can. Great stuff. All right, when we come back, we are going to have a WFO Radio Legends interview with Billy Meyer, the proprietor of the Texas Motorplex, one of NHRA's top 50 drivers of all time. At the time, the youngest driver licensed in a funny car at 16 years of age, very successful businessman, built the NHRA's first super track. Why? How? We're going to find out. Also talk about the event this weekend, but you're not going to want to miss it. Billy Meyer is coming up next. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. If you have never driven a dragster, you probably are wondering, what is it like? What does it feel like? Could I get in there? And the answer is, it's great. You will like it. And yes, you can get in there. Thanks to Frank Hawley, he has put together a program that enables the average person to get into a dragster and drive it and race it against other people just like themselves. I can't begin to tell you how difficult it would be for you to put this together on your own. Getting the car, finding a person that trusts you with their car, going to a track, setting up an environment. It's called the Dragster Adventure. And if you have done stock car ride-along programs or dragster ride-along programs, they're very neat. But it is a totally different feeling when you are behind the wheel, controlling the throttle pedal. Give them a call. 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO Radio and you want to find out more. They travel around the country. For instance, Fontana, California, October 9th and 10th, the Dragster Adventure. That's right, coming back out to Cali. They do super comp classes. They do super gas classes. If you want to get your license, if you're a bracket racer, and you want to learn how to do it the right way, the right way. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Open a browser, go to frankhawley.com, check out the schedule, Dragster Adventure, October 9th and 10th, coming to Fontana, California, all you West Coasties. You want to be in on this, the Dragster Adventure. Give him a call, 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School.
This is WFO Radio.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found and Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Eddie Krawick.
I'm at the point now where I'm very confident. You know, some people may say it's cocky or whatever. I feel I'm very confident. And I think the only way I can be beat is if I beat myself. The key thing is as we said earlier, all I want to do is just kick ass. You know, and that's the way it is.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFORadio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
The NHRA Countdown heads to the legendary Texas Motorplex this weekend for not just one, but two races. It is going to be huge. I know we've got a lot of WFO radio listeners based on what we experienced last year, my first year at the legendary track. And one of the highlights was I got to have a conversation with a man who started it all, and he's going to join us right now. Joining us on the phone line, Billy Meyer. Billy, welcome to WFO. How are you?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Very well. Getting ready for a big weekend of racing, I would imagine.
Yeah, it has kind of changed considerably in the last 72 hours from the original plan with the Carolina Nationals getting rained out. So that's going to put it a considerable different twist on having two countdown events in one weekend.
Is that something that you can advertise and try to capitalize on for the fans on Saturday? Hey, come out. You're not just seeing one race, you're seeing two?
Oh, absolutely. It's really no different than when the Traxxas Funny Car Championship got rained out at Indy, you know, and we moved all that to to the Motorplex. And so what we do is just like the old Big Bud shootouts, or what the Traxxas shootout is now, you know, in Indy, it's basically a race within a race. And so as when the pros are going to be qualifying on the weekend, the Friday qualifying runs, everybody's just going to be qualifying as they are qualifying for the AAA Fall Nationals. On Saturday, during the first, and I'm talking about Top Fuel and Pro Stock, I mean Top Fuel and Funny Car at the moment, on Saturday, obviously there's two pro qualifying runs on Saturday at the Nationals, and so they will pair up and run the actual people that are still in the Carolina race as their second and third rounds. And so even though their runs will count double in a sense, in that they actually will be qualifying for the AAA Texas Fall Nationals, and also they will be running eliminations of the Carolina Nationals. And then after everybody's made their two qualifying runs, which would be four total for the AAA event, then the two finalists for the Carolina Nationals then will come back for the actual final round of the Carolina Nationals, you know, an hour and a half later.
That is going to be great. A little bonus run for the fans and for the drivers who earn their way into the final round. And one thing you know you're not going to see if you go to watch qualifying is a driver click it off just because they shake the tires.
No, and you know, it's going to be really interesting because you're going to see some really, really good racing, whereas a lot of times in qualifying, you know, if guys have either are really needing to get in or they're really needing to, they've already done really well on Friday, they may just go for it sometimes and try something crazy and not make a good run because they may blow up or they may spin the tires or something. And so in this particular case, the guy's got to be more conservative in a sense, in that he's doing two things. You know, do you want to win the Carolina Nationals, or do you want to improve your qualifying position if you have already qualified for the AAA Fall Nationals?
Very interesting stuff. Billy Meyer joining us here on WFO, one of NHRA's 50 greatest drivers of all time. Billy, I want to ask you about your driving career and then, of course, the Motorplex. But 22 finals in 112 races. Your final race, you won. You have a final round percentage of 20%. That is higher than anyone except for John Force. But you hung it up at 33 years old, very young in driving terms. What? I would love to know about your career. Obviously, great success, and then walked away from the driver's seat.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I was real fortunate in the way it started. I had raced go-karts as a kid, and so you might would assume the normal transaction, you know, would go into road racing or NASCAR type racing. But I had a close friend that was driving a funny car at the time out of Waco, Texas, and he would take me to the go-kart races because I wasn't old enough to drive at the time because I wasn't 16. And so I could run certain carts at national events in go-kart racing, but then I ran a different cart at the outlaw races because it had more power. And so he would drive that cart at the national events, and I would drive my slower car that fit my age bracket. And so he kind of took me on as a big brother, and he asked me to go to the drag races a couple times on the weekends we weren't go-kart racing, and I went with him, and then they gave me the opportunity to learn how to drive. I got my license actually at a little drag strip in Fort Hood, Texas, actually at the Army base. It was on the actual runway, and they would race on weekends there, and that's where I got my license. And just coincidentally, so I wasn't driving a whole lot because he was the main driver of the team, and then he got hurt really bad in one of my go-karts, and we had races booked and stuff, and I was in high school. I was a terrible student and wasn't ever in high school because we were racing. And so I just kind of fluked luck, you know. I say luck that he got hurt, but he just injured a hand real bad and couldn't drive for about 6 months. So I ended up getting to drive at all the match races we had in the five-state area. And then when I got out of high school, I bought him out and left home about 6 weeks after high school.
At 16 years old, you were a licensed funny car driver. That is unbelievable. But then again, now with the Junior Dragster program, the kids are getting started a lot earlier. I guess people realized, maybe you were one of those early pioneers, that younger people, if taught right, can handle these things.
Well, you know, our go-karts used to go 100 and something mile an hour. You know, and so if you get used to speed, I guess, at a young age, you know, I was always pretty cautious at that starting point, and Grover Rogers, who was the one that started me driving, would tell you that they really didn't think I was going to do very well, but because that first 6 months I was so cautious. But it ended up being good, and then when I got out of high school, you know, what kind of changed my life from just being another guy, which kind of catapults me up to some notability. It'd be kind of like winning the Masters at a young age, you know, but when I won the U.S. Manufacturers Funny Car Championship at 18, you know, then that kind of catapulted me into a pretty lucky sphere there.
And you were your own crew chief for most of your career. You finished in the top 10 every season you competed. You know, just amazing superlatives. Three-time series championship runner-up. Obviously, those are all great superlatives. But then at 33 years old, you decided to move on. What was the motivating factor?
I had two children that were they were 6 and 4 or 5 and 3 at the time, and I had, you know, been gone my entire life, basically, you know, 40 weeks a year, and just that I had been anticipating what I was going to do, and you know, you start out driving a pickup truck, and then we switched over, and you know, we're the first ones to ever have a semi truck. And that was kind of for combination of the billboard and the safety, because we had so much equipment. And then after a while, you know, you start flying commercial, and then I got married in 79, and so I didn't, I kind of made this deal that I didn't really want to be gone more than 2 weeks at a time, you know, for my wife. So that'd be about 10 days, actually. So I'd fly back and forth. And then I had done real successful, been very fortunate and blessed, to have, done so well with their sponsorship sales, and so we, you know, had a considerable war chest there to work with compared to most teams. And so I started, you know, chartering jets and getting back home quicker, and then bought a jet and it saved 54 days in the office the first year that I had a corporate jet, but I still just was not happy being gone, you know, away from my family.
And I think everyone can understand that. I often think about that as many of the drivers out there, how much travel goes into this. And wow. But you stayed involved. And what I think is kind of cool, not just drag racing, but you had your hand in a lot of things. Of course, we're going to talk about the Motorplex, where we will all be. But just reading some bio stories on you, the Division IV Hall of Fame story, you and Hal Needham partnered on a rocket car, the Budweiser Landspeed rocket car. How did you get in on that?
Well, that was really early in my career, and that was when I was young enough to still think I could do anything in the world. And so I guess when I was 21, after 74, when I had done so well, was runner-up at Indy and set the world record that year, I had gotten invited to drive the rocket car. And the gentleman that had brought it to me had been the main marketing sales guy for Don Perdomo for the years, and he was quite successful in selling sponsorships, and he had worked with this guy named Bill Fredericks that had a rocket car that was a quarter mile rocket car, and they wanted to break the sound barrier. So anyway, they talked me into signing on as the driver, and that was the year I had signed a contract. So I had to sign a contract that I couldn't. That I had to sell my race team. So I actually sold my drag race team at the end of 74 after the season was over. And but what they didn't have in the contract was it didn't say I couldn't drive a funny car. And so I guess they just thought that the wording was good enough that I wouldn't drive anymore, and that way I'd be protected and could drive the rocket car. So I had to move to California for the year while we built the car, and I did all the testing on it at the Naval Station at China Lake, the GSU testing and stuff. And breaking the sound barrier. But I also was lucky enough to be able to continue my driving career. And that when Gene Snow got hurt with a back injury, I drove his funny car in 75 for about 4, 5, 6 months. And then when he got well, then I went back to California. I was going back every week anyway, but then I drove for, if y'all remember the California Charger, Keeling and Clayton, I drove their funny car that summer. And then I also drove the Pluger and Geiger funny car. So I was able to continue to drive every week. It was kind of funny. But after a while, things just weren't working out on the rocket car program, and we lost trust in the builder. And Hal Needham came in and bought him out. And so we were already a percentage owner in it before Hal got involved. But then Hal came in, and, of course, with his background and knowledge of how to really get publicity, because the movies, him and Burt Reynolds, and Burt wasn't involved at that time, I decided not to drive it, and Stan Barrett drove it, and broke the sound barrier in October 79. So good news is it would have taken, that was a 5-year project. That was supposed to be an 18-month project. And the way it was supposed to work was we were going to go race Art Arfons in Iran in 76. And that was obviously when there were some problems in Iran with the Shah getting taken over, so that kind of got messed up. But that was going to be an ABC show. And that was what it enticed me to do that. So it was just a point in my career that I tried something that kind of didn't work.
And yet, I think by doing those things, you gained experience that helped you be successful. Just looking at some of the different things that you've put together over the years and businesses you've had that you've been successful in, let's talk about the Motorplex. I remember first hearing about the Texas Motorplex, reading about it in National Dragster. I was a kid, and the idea of a drag racing super track was so appealing. All concrete. My father was in the concrete business, and so of course it had been beaten into me how superior it was as a surface, of course. And you built this track. What made you decide, you know what, we're going to go really, really big, bigger than anyone has ever seen, and do something new and fresh for the world of drag racing?
Well, it really was because of my relationship with Hal Needham, because he when he decided that him and Burt Reynolds wanted to go NASCAR racing, I put together the program, I ended up joining into the team, so that gave kind of some credence to their team, because, you know, they were part of the team I was already successful in the sport, but they were, you know, obviously big time movie stars. And so, ended up with the Skull Bandit sponsorship, and that all came out right when they were trying to come up with the little tea bag skull pouches. And they had not named them yet, but because of the movie Smokey and the Bandit and Burt Reynolds' Hal Needham, that's where the Skull Bandit name came from. And so I was blessed to obviously have this great sponsorship in the year before, Hawaiian Tropic, because of Hal Needham. And if you look at any of Hal Needham and Burt Reynolds' movies, all my sponsors are in every one of them. So if you look at Stroke Race, all the race cars in there are one of our sponsors. And you look at Cannonball Run, and you see Dom DeLuise pulling the 7-Eleven and say, oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Well, most people remember my career. I was sponsored by 7-Eleven. So, I mean, those things help, but what really made me make decision to build a Motorplex was in 1981, the chairman of the board and his wife of Skoll, U.S. Tobacco, Lou Bantle, they flew in to, you know, they had been going to the NASCAR races. Obviously, NASCAR had suites and all that back then. Well, they flew into Englishtown, New Jersey, July 1st or 5th, something like that, to the Summer Nationals. Well, that pretty much changed our life from the school perspective, because they never came back. And they just totally lost desire for drag racing at the time. There was only porta-potties, no suites, you know. They fly in a Gulfstream, and then she's got to go to a porta-potty, and she's 63 years old. You know, it's 104 degrees outside. If it wouldn't have been for Larry Miner's team with Gary Beck, because we used to park side by side back then, because Gary and I are such close friends, and he had the little suite in the front of his semi, and nobody did back then. I think Frank Bradley had one, and I still had a total semi, you know, equipment, so to speak. It was before we'd built one with a a suite up front. And so that next winter I built one with a suite up front, but that was only a part of what we wanted to accomplish. We wanted to prove that the sport was bigger, you know, and if you had a big league ballpark, it would, everybody may understand that we had a big league sport. But before that, if you're playing in little league ballparks, you know, if the Dallas Cowboys played at a junior high stadium, they probably wouldn't think that it was a major league sport. And so that's kind of, we decided that we wanted to build something that was for the racer and the sponsor and the spectator. And it took, you know, we built, put more bathrooms in than Texas Stadium had at the time. You know, we obviously put in more suites than anybody'd ever had. We put more asphalt in than anybody'd had for the teams. And then the concrete racetrack, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer, but an engineering friend of mine was the one that actually had the knowledge and the understanding of that we should do it in post-tension so it wouldn't have any seams in it, so there wouldn't be any bumps. So it's 29, this is our 29th year, and I can't tell you how many times I know other racetracks have been repaved. It's still going strong.
Well, exactly, and that's what my father would always say, and to see you do it and be successful. Very interesting to hear how Hal Needham was tied together through your career. Obviously, we lost Hal last year. Me growing up on his movies, literally Smokey and the Bandit, Cannonball Run, all of those movies, the Hollywood stuntman movies, to see and hear that you were so closely connected in the sport of drag racing is very interesting. Also, obviously, terrible that we lost him a year ago.
Yeah, he was a great guy. He was he was, I think, the first Marlboro man, or one of the first two Marlboro men originally, and he was the number one stunt guy and owned a company called Stunts Unlimited, and so he obviously had knowledge of danger and excitement and thrills, and he actually drove the rocket car one time and decided he might want to do it, and he went 550 mile an hour in it. And had an incident, and so decided not to do it. And he was a little too big for the car because it was really built for me, and at the time I weighed 135 pounds, you know. So it was quite a blessing to have him involved in my career because it helped me, you know, more than anybody would ever know.
Billy, I could talk with you for hours on end because I know there is something very important that I'm missing and I'm not asking you about. I know it, but hopefully in the future we can double back. But I would ask you this. For our listeners, I like to make this show a little more than just a drag racing show because I know there are people who are trying to be successful, who are working really hard, who are trying to do things in their lives. You said you were a terrible student, and yet you have been dramatically successful in your career and your endeavors over the years. What is the secret?
In one word, it would be determination, I guess, and another word would be persistence. And so, you know, if you are, my dad was an extremely successful person, owned the largest sales training, goal setting company in the world. They had, their courses were in about 60 different languages in about 100 countries. And when you're raised in that goal setting environment, it's beat into you. It's just like anything else that's beat into you. It'd be beat into you, you know, because your dad or your parents were alcoholics, or, you know, or they beat you, or they, you know, or if your dad's a pastor or whatever, you know, whatever your environment is, it's hard to get out of that. And that's one of the problems we have in the world is it's hard to change from what you were raised in. Luckily, I was extremely blessed to be raised in a family that, and with my dad, that was so strong believing in that, you know, the world's full of educated derelicts, and persistence and determination are omnipotent, you know. And so, you know, it was just like, no to me, whether I was doing something in racing or doing something in sales or doing something in another company, just kind of meant, well, that means not yet, because, you know, there still may be an angle to accomplish that. And so he had a saying that was one of his famous sayings, that was, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, sincerely believe in, and enthusiastically act upon must inevitably come to pass if it's God's will.
Wow. I got to say, that is, if I run that through its course, it seems like it would ultimately work out in the end regardless.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And by the way, I added if it's God's will. He did. That wasn't in his deal. So, so if you do that, whether it's raising your kids or whether it's, you know, with a construction business that I used to own, or whether it's, you know, our aviation business, or whether it's the Motorplex, it just that, it's kind of the old comical saying, you know, quitters never prosper, you know, and so if you just don't ever give up, you know, the 1 year when we blew up at Indy, you know, disintegrated the car at the finish line qualifying, and I didn't have another body, and you know, we were in trouble, and you know, trying to figure out how to do it, just never kind of gave up with it. So ended up talking Bernstein into letting us borrow his second body, and I flew in our fabricator, spent the night, you know, putting a body from a different manufactured chassis together with a new half to 10 work, you know, and you spend 20 hours doing it, and we end up runner up just because I broke a transmission. You know, the other guy had already smoked the tires and shut off, which was Mike Dunn. And so, I mean, you know, that's that determination factor. If you just don't quit, you know, you could easily just load it up and gone home because you hurt yourself.
Very, very interesting stories, and I appreciate you sharing them with us, Billy, because this is what I really believe people need to hear these days, motivation, and people who have been successful laying out the roadmap to how to get it done, and it's great to hear it, and thank you for doing it. I'm looking forward to seeing you this weekend at the Texas Motorplex for a little two-for-one action, and I know a lot of our listeners are going to be coming out as well. Thank you so much for coming on our show and sharing a little bit of your time.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. I mean, it's going to be crazy. You know, obviously, it's still the typical same schedule. It's still, you know, Friday Pro Qualifying, Saturday Pro Qualifying, and Sunday the AAA Texas Fall Nationals. But the cool thing is that in-between thing where you get to see the Carolina Nationals. So it's going to be pretty bizarre. We have a Tracy Lawrence there Friday night in a concert.
Really?
It's in a benefit thing because of the famous Harry Schmidt Foundation. Harry died, you know, last year or 2 years ago. He was the original Blue Max funny car owner, and his wife and family have put together a foundation because of his illness, and it's all in honor of that, and money's to be raised for that. And so we got a lot going on. You know, it's all stuffed in. Then we have the draw auction on Saturday night, which we are lucky enough to do every year, and it's their biggest one. So we're putting a lot of stuff in a two-pound bag this week.
Which is just like everybody likes it. Just to hear Tracy Lawrence going to be there, that is very cool. I am looking forward to it. Billy, thank you so much for coming on our show. I really appreciate it. And I do appreciate just, you know, you giving me some thoughts and ideas on announcing last year and spending a little time with me after the race. I really appreciate that, and I'm very happy to have you on the show. I think our listeners will benefit as well. Thank you so much.
All right, buddy. See you in a couple days.
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
Thanks.
Billy Meyer with us here on WFO Radio. And folks, if you're an NHRA fan and that doesn't get you to click on our show every week, those interviews, I don't know what will. I greatly appreciate Billy coming on the show and going into the Wayback Machine and talking about the career and Hal Needham and the rocket car and just all of those cool things. Very, very cool, and I greatly appreciate it. If you don't have your tickets for the AAA Texas Fall Nationals already, you should definitely come out. I'll be there all 4 days. If you see me, flag me down. Greatly appreciate Billy coming on the show the way he did. And just like that, it's over. Ron Capps, Alan Reinhart, Billy Meyer. We were supposed to have winners, and that didn't work out. So here we are. I think it was a pretty good show considering the last-minute bookings. There was a little stress going on the airplane yesterday back from the Carolinas. I want to say thanks to all the folks at Z-Max Dragway, the staff there, and I mean the ladies that open the front door for you when you walk in the tower, through everyone. Fantastic. And I'm even going to extend that to the people working in the hotel, Holiday Inn. Just very friendly people in Concord, North Carolina. Everyone, big smile, real friendly. How can I help you? That's unusual most everywhere else. These people were hardcore friendly. I think it's a Bruton Smith thing. I think it's a Christian Bird thing. I think that they really make sure that everyone gets a great customer service experience. Now, I did say I was going to make some comments about the race, and here they are. The long and short of it is this. Multiple converging negative factors came together to cause the postponement of the race. It is definitely a major bummer for the race fans who came out on Sunday. Looking back now, I don't know that there's any other way it could have gone down regarding all the ideas that were out there, running in lanes 3 and 4, or running on Monday, seeing the weather we had, the way it all went out. But at the end of it all, I know that there are some people that are bothered or angry. I'm looking on Facebook. I see the message boards occasionally. I think that there are people that are really wanting just to blame and spew extreme negativity. It's clearly a negative thing. Nobody would have wanted it. Nobody would have planned for it. It's not something you would do on purpose. It's not something that anybody at the end of a decision-making process, which I was not privy to any of, just know that it went on. I know there were a lot of racers involved. I saw the television broadcast. I saw the bigs of the sport, guys like Connie Coletta and Alan Johnson out there looking at the track. I saw all that just like everybody else. I can honestly say I have no inside information on how any decision was made. I just felt the disappointment like everybody else. But I think about the people who made the decisions and what their motivation is. Nobody is looking to impose anything negative on anybody. And so for the people that are like blaming and like, yeah, this is exactly what happened. No, it's a horrible, unfortunate experience that happened. V-Gains lost a car. It is terrible. And the people who made the decisions did the best they could at the time they had under the gun in a limited amount of time. Pressure-packed situation decision-making ability was in play there. And it is so easy to just go back and say, oh, yeah, this, or oh, yeah, that, when you're not the person who has to make the decision. Critical decision-making under pressure with real consequences at any time for a large amount of people is very, very tough. I like to choose to not backseat drive those people, using my 2020 hindsight to micromanage the decision that they made under pressure. I don't. So I know some people, they really want to, yeah, someone is to blame. I really don't view it that way. It is my assumption that it is an unfortunate set of circumstances that nobody would have chosen if they could have made the choice whether to have them occur or not. And at that, you move on. AAA Texas Fall Nationals this weekend. Going to go down and see our buddy Marvin Rodak at rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. If you are a WFO radio listener, you are around the world, of course, we would encourage you to check out some Rodak's coffee or go to the Frank Holly Drag Racing School. Tell them you heard it here on WFO Radio. We've got our Ignition show this week. Very abbreviated week here because we're going to Texas on Wednesday. We're getting in Wednesday for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, a four-day event. It's going to be spectacular. And again, what is a bummer for the fans in Carolina is a bonus for the fans in Texas. What can you do? Hopefully at the end of it all evens out. You know, someone gets a little bit of gain, someone gets a little bit of negative, and at the end, hopefully it all evens out. Kind of a bummer. But listen, nobody would have loved to have seen the conclusion of that race more than me. The weather conditions were perfect. Again, just put it in the bummer file, man. Put it in the bummer file. That's going to do it, folks. I appreciate everybody who listens to this show, and the ones that tell their friends, I appreciate you even more. We've got a lot of good things coming. Remember, we do the show right through the countdown and through the off season. And a lot of you new listeners are like, why would we listen during the off season? There's no racing going on. And that's when a lot of the great stuff happens. We connect with drivers. They're not really focused on racing. A lot of good news comes out. We have a lot of good stuff that goes on the show. So subscribe, download the RSS feed, follow on Twitter. Stitcher tweets it out automatically. Stitcher is an app. TuneIn is an app. We're on all of those things. But we appreciate you listening. There are people behind the scenes here like Patrick the Webmaster, Giovanni in Miami, who co-hosts the Ignition show. We have a lot of fun talking NASCAR, talking about our fantasy league. I invite you to listen to that. You might be an NHRA-only listener, and we'll gobble up about 2 hours of your day is basically it. You could start listening at noon. Next thing you know, it's 2:30, and you're close to 5 p.m. That's how I really position it. You're at work. I know we got new listeners from the UK. Welcome to you. Want to say what's up to the Pomponio family. Guys, follow them on Twitter, at Pomponio Racing. Good people. They're running our WFO radio sticker. They basically said, hey, send us a sticker. We'll run it on our car. And I was like, yes. I don't go around soliciting the stickers too often. But when people say, hey, we'll run your sticker, send us one, I send it because it's greatly appreciated getting WFO radio out there. Thanks to Mike O'Gwynn, by the way, for doing just a spectacular thing for us with the WFOradio.com sticker. That was awesome. Greatly appreciated. Just an unfortunate set of circumstances this past week, and believe me, no one is more bummed out than me. Maybe a couple people who came on Sunday who only saw what could have been one of the greatest rounds of Nitro drag racing ever. But then again, if you're a glasses half full kind of guy, you got to see one of the greatest Nitro rounds ever. I guess it could have rained out before first round the way it was looking. It's all in how you choose to look at the matter, I guess. It's all how you choose to look at the matter. All right, that's going to do it before I get too philosophical here. Thanks to Billy Meyer for coming on the show. A lot of great insight in that interview. I appreciated it. Thanks to Ron Capps for coming on the show. Ron is always there. Ron is out there. Hey, got 20 points in the countdown, baby. Moving on. Ron Capps can make a lot of hay this weekend. Thanks to Alan Reinhardt, who I know has a Kool-Aid smile after his engine dyno number. And I speak dyno a little bit, and those are good numbers. Anytime you can be over 500 pound-feet of torque for a 3,000 RPM band, 4 to 7, you're pretty good. The question is, who's going to sell this guy the tires? Who's going to become the tire sponsor for Reinhardt? Because they're not going to be lasting very long. That's my instant analysis. Who's going to get the tire biz from Reinhardt? I would love to be that guy. All right, folks, that's going to do it. We'll see you on Ignition. If you're going to be out at the Motorplex, I will be there. Be sure to flag me down, yell WFO, and I'll stop. And we are going to have a great time. We're going to do a WFO radio listener tweet up at the Winner Circle or somewhere. So just keep an eye on the push notifications from the app and my tweets, and they will get out there. Big thanks to everyone. Follow Pomponio Racing, the good people, and get some coffee. Go to Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. This is the point of the show where I sign off. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agency.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else?
Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.